While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So I want to start by talking about a royal baby. You may remember when Prince George was born, Prince William and Kate Middleton had a baby, and it was big news. It was news all over the world, in fact. One day this little boy was going to be king. But we find that Jesus' birth is a very different kind of fanfare, or perhaps no fanfare at all. God's coming to earth in the person of Jesus isn't obvious, or at least it wasn't at the time, unless you happen to be shepherds. It happens in an unlikely place, at a difficult time in history. There's no international news coverage, no grand royal occasion. So why would God make it so low-key? Why choose a nobody like Mary, a nowhere place like Bethlehem? Why choose a stable, an animal feeding trough? At the beginning of John's Gospel, the arrival of Jesus on earth is described as God becoming flesh and living among us. John writes that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And the word that's used for dwelt in the Greek is skenu, which literally means to pitch a tent. God pitched his tent among us. And it's related to the Old Testament, when the Israelites believed that God dwelt in a special type of tent called a tabernacle, a portable dwelling place for the divine. A portable dwelling place for the divine. And this time God's presence was dwelling in the tent of a human body, Jesus, another portable dwelling place. He came to live among us, to be with us, so that it was no longer God far away, disembodied, impossible to relate to. It was God near, God here with us. It's like my favorite Christmas story of the man who kept the ants. You may have heard it before. So there's this man, and he has a tank in which he keeps his ants, and he loves his ants. And so he makes sure that the tank is exactly the right temperature, and he makes sure that the ants all have exactly the right amount of food that they need, and that everything is just so that this environment, this tank where the ants live, is perfect for their survival and their thriving. And in fact, this man loves his ants so much that he wants to declare to his ants that he loves them. He wants to express it in some way. So he gets a piece of paper and he writes, "I love you, ants," in big letters, and he sticks it on the side of the tank, hoping that the ants will notice. But the ants just carry on scurrying around. They don't notice because they're ants and they can't read. And then he tries something else. He shouts into the tank as loud as he can, "Ants, I love you!" But do the ants take any notice? No, they carry on doing their thing, scurrying around in their own little world. And then the man finally realizes that the only way he's going to be able to express his love for his ants is to become an ant himself, to go and live amongst them and become one of them. Only that way will they know his love. A lovely Christmas story, I'm sure you'll agree. A name that is given to Jesus in the Bible is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God being with us is a huge theme in the Bible. The Bible begins with God being with the first man and the first woman in the garden. And the Bible ends with God with us at the end of time, when everything is put right, when there will be no more pain or suffering or death. So in the beginning, God is with us. And in the end, God is with us. But somewhere along the way in the middle, we become separated. Somewhere along the way, the link is broken. The connection with God has been broken. God and people have become disconnected, and they need to be reconnected. And that's why God became flesh. That's why God decided to pitch his tent here among us, right in the middle of real life. To pitch a tent right in the middle of suffering and this beautiful and complex, painful existence that we call life. He arrived as a vulnerable baby, lived as a human man, declared in his words and showed in his actions that God is near. God is with us. God is in the process of reconnecting with us. And Jesus made that reconnection possible in and through his death and resurrection. The grave could not hold God in human form. The creator of life itself could not be held down by death. And so he broke through, breaking the power of sin and death, so that one day all things can be put right and God can once again be with us. But we don't have to wait until the end of time until we are reconnected with God. We reconnect with God in the here and now. For Jesus sent his Spirit so that we can know God with us and amongst us now. All that from a tiny baby with no fanfare or press coverage. It's easy to miss it. And even now, when it's celebrated in such a huge way with millions of pounds spent on the occasion, we can still miss it. It's like we can't see the wood for the trees. We can't see Jesus for all the tinsel and the turkey. We can miss the wonder and truth of what Jesus' coming to earth really means. The God who chose to pitch his tent among us over 2,000 years ago and is wanting to dwell with us now.